Heavenly Father, with your word having been read, now we draw near to you and ask that you would speak to us. Speak to us in a way that we can understand, but we also ask, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to apply your word to our hearts. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Notice verse 7 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Today, we come to the fifth beatitude. The fifth blessing saying of our Lord Jesus. And again, it is a rather strange statement. Because the text seemed to say that God will be merciful to those who are merciful. Or, God will be kind to those who are kind. How do you feel about that interpretation? It's cause and effect. Because God have shown you mercy, or rather, because you have shown mercy to others, cause, God will show you mercy, effect. It cannot mean that. It cannot mean that the only hope that a person has for the mercy of God is that they show mercy to somebody else in the first instance. Why not? If we look at the immediate context, it suggests this is impossible. Remember, we always look at the immediate context of the scripture to give us the meaning. This is the fifth beatitude. And there's a logical progression between the various beatitudes. The one leads to the next. We began with poor in spirit. The realization that before God we are nothing. We can bring no good works, no good life, no goodness. We are poor and worthless as far as being acceptable to God is concerned. The poor in spirit then leads on to mourning over sin, bringing us to repentance over our own sinfulness and our sins. That makes us humble and meek in the sight of God. We don't think highly of ourselves, but submit ourselves under God, under His will and His purposes to be used for His glory. That leads on to a hunger and thirst after righteousness, a longing to be right with God, a longing for a holy life, a longing for a better world that is to come. So, poor in spirit leads to mourning, which leads to meekness, which leads to hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And that leads on to being merciful. But it is also wrong, the interpretation, that God will only show us mercy if we show mercy in the first instance to others, because of the wider biblical context. If God is merciful only to those who show mercy, then we can forget pretty much about the rest of the Bible. And we will have to reduce the Bible to a single sentence. God will be merciful to you, i.e. save you, if and only if you have been merciful to others. Then the fact that Jesus Christ had died on the cross means nothing. And we will contradict the rest of the Bible. And we will make salvation a work. A work of salvation. You are your own Savior. Your own Savior through your own mercy. No. Salvation is by the grace of God alone. The Word of God very clearly states to us, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. Blessed are the merciful. That comes because of the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. So let us not misinterpret the text. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But notice that the Christian has already received mercy. The Christian is already blessed long before the Christian becomes merciful. God has already shown mercy. That is clear from the Beatitudes themselves. To be poor in spirit is not an insignificant mercy. Neither is it to grieve and mourn over sin with tears of repentance. A proud heart that becomes humble and meek and submissive to the will and the glory of God is a great mercy, let alone an enormous transformation in a person's life. There is even more mercy when a person hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Out of these mercies grows the character of being merciful, which is another divine gift from God. And was it not already said to these people, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be filled. Is that not already a whole host of mercies that God has given them? Christians have already received mercy, the mercy of God, before they can become merciful themselves. What does the Lord mean when He speaks about mercy? What does it mean to be merciful then? Well, firstly, notice what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to have an easygoing and a carefree spirit. So many people today think to be merciful is to smile if someone is breaking the law, saying, well, what does it matter anyway? Let us carry on. Neither does it mean being merciful referring to a natural temperament or a personality, like someone who is born merciful and somebody else who is not. In that case, the person who is merciful will have a great advantage over the person who is not merciful, and that would be grossly unfair. Nobody has any advantage over anybody when they stand before God. We all fall short of the glory of God. Children, people are not merciful because they have natural, tender hearts. They are merciful because God has shown them mercy in the first place. But what does our Lord then mean when He says and speaks about mercy? When we think of this concept of mercy, firstly, what comes to mind is the idea of sympathy and compassion towards those who are weak, sick, and poor, and they cannot help themselves. It is also an attitude of pity and kindness towards someone who is guilty and they cannot repay their debt. followed on by a commitment to relieve their misery. Mercy is active. It is love in action. Think of a weak elderly person, a sick child, or a destitute widow or orphan, or someone in the depths of despair, remorse, or in dark depression. Think of a convicted criminal, or a drunkard of a father who has lost his family. Moved into action by helping the undeserving. That is mercy. But the best way to understand mercy is to look at God Himself. Mercy is a fundamental part of God's character in His dealings with humankind. The primary Hebrew word for the term mercy is the word chesed, which refers to the active and the willing love and compassion and kindness of God, shown in His covenant relationship with His people Israel and His people down through the ages. God's love and His loyalty, this chesed or mercy towards His people, is not based on anything that they have done. Neither is it based on how they feel about it. But it is based on God's saving response to their misery. It is based on the character of God. In Exodus chapter 34, which Mark read to us earlier on, we were told that God proclaimed His name to Moses and to the people of Israel. In chapter 34 and verses 6 and 7, God passed before Moses, saying to him, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. The Lord God is gracious and He is merciful. That is the description that He gives of Himself. And this is given to us in the context where the nation of Israel had fallen into the gross sin of idol worship by setting up a golden calf and worshipping it. And that after God had delivered them out of the land of slavery. God is not just turning a blind eye to evil, no. The scriptures tell us that the eyes of the Lord is in every place, keeping watch over good and evil. And in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord God says that He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity upon the fathers of the children and children's children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate Him. The world says that it is unkind and unmerciful to tell people that they are responsible for their own sin. If a man is found guilty for a crime, it is seen as an act of mercy to let him off. It is not an act of mercy. It is the perversion of justice to do so. On the other hand, when people personally suffer the consequences of sin at the hands of people, and because of their crimes, then they want justice, saying the guilty must suffer. That is so inconsistent. People living in sin, and yet they go into society to be received as if they are the most respectable people in the world. But let somebody else make a mistake. Oh dear. And then there is no mercy for them. Isn't that hypocritical? And sadly, sometimes religious people are the worst. How merciless they can be. Even in the church, people can be so harsh, critical, arrogant, even more than people outside of the church. That is bad. Coming back to God, He sees people living in rebellion of Him. And He sees all the misery that is caused in the world because of sin and rebellion. The pain, the sickness, the suffering, death. He sees every tear that is shed. All the hearts that are broken. Every suffering soul is noticed by God Almighty. And what does God do? About man's self-inflicted misery. How does He deal with people? Well, He shows them mercy. The Bible says that God shows His love towards us in this, that while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. The Apostle Paul explains this. Mercy of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, saying to us, we are dead in our sins. We are actually spiritually dead towards God naturally. People follow their own ways in this world. They are not God's ways. They live under the influence of the evil one and they are disobedient to God. They are controlled by their heart passions and are children destined for judgment. At that point, God steps in being rich in mercy with great love to such people who are lost and dead in their sins, to resurrect them to life through Jesus Christ who died for them. This is called salvation by grace. So God's mercy towards sinful people is shown to us most clearly in giving us His only begotten Son. God did not say, open His arms, come to me and I'll ignore all your sin and your troubles. No, He's merciful by sending His own Son to die on the cross, to die so that there will be justice. So He pays for sin by His death. And the believer is given life through His blood sacrifice. That is mercy. Can you see the mercy of God in this? His love in action. If you are a Christian, you are someone who have received mercy from God. It is not that you or I are such a wonderful person. No. You've received mercy. You didn't deserve this mercy. How merciful do you reckon are you? Martin Lloyd-Jones tells this story about a wealthy Victorian woman. She was driven in her coach to a theater. So this is back in the 19th century. To go and watch a play. And the play was about poor people. And she was moved by seeing the suffering of these poor people. She came out of the theater with her eyes filled with tears running down her face. A poor coach driver was sitting in the bitter cold for the past 3 hours. Never once did she take notice of him and spare a thought for this poor driver's suffering. We can be filled with compassion, yet do nothing about it. That is sentimentalism. Unless we do something, it is not mercy. Mercy is more than feelings. Even crying over someone, mercy leads to action. Now the Christian, I have mentioned this, have received the mercy of God. And therefore it is unavoidable that the Christian will themselves be merciful. There are many people in this world that are in need of mercy. Think of the poor, the sick, the widow, the orphan, the underprivileged, the prisoner, the traumatized, the abused, those in dark depression, the hopeless, those who are in despair, the person who does not know God. How should the Christian show mercy practically? Well, not only should we do something to relieve the misery of these people, but we should also not forget to look at the misery of our enemies. Let our Lord Jesus' counsel to us be taken to heart, where he says to us, we should love our enemies. We should do good to those who hate us. We should bless those who curse us. And we should pray for those who persecute us. And then he says, well, what does it help if we only love those who love us? What benefit is it to us? And what does it do? What good does it do if we only care for those who will care for us back? For even sinners do the same. But we should love our enemies. We should do good and we should lend, not expecting anything in return. Be merciful, the Lord Jesus says, as your heavenly Father is merciful. A preacher by the name of Tim Conway tells the story of a woman and her father-in-law. She was a believer and she feared God. But her father-in-law was not, and he hated God. He just thought that it would be a good thing if he tries to provoke her. He had this wicked plan to try to get her to blow her Christian testimony. So he made her life as hard as he could, constantly speaking in foul, perversive language, mocking and insulting her at every opportunity, jabbing at her to the point of breaking her down. Cruel man. On the inside, she was angry. And on the outside, she would often leave to go somewhere where she could weep. When her husband was around, her father-in-law kept a straight face as if there was nothing wrong. She was exasperated. Her pastor gave her advice. Every time he provokes you, return kindness and mercy to him. There are not many who would give that kind of counseling in these days. But by Christ's help, she did what he said, but it wasn't easy. Not sure how long this went on for, one day he said especially wicked things to her. In response, she got up, went to the kitchen, and she baked cookies, the favorite kind of this wicked old man. She went and she set it before him. He literally fell out of his chair with his face to the floor and began to weep. Every time she was returning kindness to him, it was like hot coals burning his conscience until God broke him. He asked God to forgive him. He begged her to forgive him. He has since died and he's gone to glory. But what a merciful woman. What a merciful God. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Practicing mercy towards our fellow sinners inevitably involves forgiveness. Forgiveness towards our spouses, our children, our mother or our father, our friends, our brother, sister, our neighbors. Question: do you practice forgiveness towards people who have hurt you, disappointed you, or offended you? If you are a Christian, think of how God has forgiven you by showing you mercy, the mercy of the cross of Jesus Christ, and how God has not just forgiven you, but cleansed you and changed your heart. Now think of what we sometimes do. When someone else comes and they offend us, even by the smallest of things, that we keep it in our minds, sometimes for days, months, or even years, and we become embittered towards them. Why are we not willing to forgive them? Do you show mercy by way of forgiveness to others? Jesus told this parable, and it was read to us a little earlier there in Matthew chapter 18, to teach us what the kingdom of God is like. So there was this king, came to settle accounts with all his servants. One owed him $3.5 billion. Needless to say, there was no way in this world that he could repay his debt. So the king ordered that he be sold and that all his possessions be sold, including his wife and his children. He fell down on his knees and he begged for mercy. The king had compassion on him and freely forgave him his debt. So off this man went, debt-free, and he came across a friend who owed him $90. So he grabbed him by the neck and he started to choke him, saying to him, pay me what you owe. The friend begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused and he insisted that he be thrown into prison until he paid back the last cent. His fellow servants saw this. They went and they reported that to the king. The king said, what is going on here? I forgave you all this debt because you pleaded with me? Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? He was the one that ended up in prison. Jesus says, that is what God will do. If you and I are not willing from our hearts to forgive others who have offended us and show them mercy. Nothing proves more clearly that someone has been forgiven by their readiness to forgive others. To forgive and be forgiven. To show mercy and receive mercy. These inseparably belongs together, as Jesus illustrated in this parable. Mercy. It is such a beautiful word. Some people call their children by the name mercy. These must be great. Mercy must be great in the hearts of every Christian towards those who do not know him. As Christians, we think more seriously about sin than unbelievers do. We judge sin by higher standards than other people do. But we always think kindly of the sinner. So when it comes to the sinner, we don't say to the sinner or to an unbeliever, I am holier than thou. Get away from me. No. We would only be too glad if the most fallen and wicked of unbelievers come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the merciful Christian is not one who cancels people and sends them off. Do you long for people to see the grace of God? And do you long for the truth of God to find its way into everyone's home? The Bible says that those who show no mercy, judgment will come without mercy to those who show no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. If you are merciless this morning, what should you do? Don't settle for being a merciless person. Go for God's mercy, because His mercy triumphs over judgment. Go back to the first beatitude. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And if you become poor in spirit, then you will find very soon that you will mourn over your state. Your mourning will bring you to the place where God will humble you of your pride. And He will give you a thirst for Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can fill you up. And then, after that has happened, you will become more merciful. And do you know who the first ones are who will see that you have become merciful? It'll be your dog and your cat and your children and your wife and your husband, because you will no longer push them around and be harsh with them. What kind of mercy is it that Jesus is saying they will receive who are merciful, in addition to all the mercies that they have already received? Remember that word chesed, God's mercy. His loyal love towards His children that is not based on what they have done and how they feel, but on God's saving response to the misery that they are experiencing in any way, shape, form, or fashion, all based on the character of God. There is no one as merciful as God is. He has a constant stream of mercy. And the Bible tells us that they are new every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Therefore, we shall say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, let us hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait on Him and to the souls who seek Him. You need mercy. I know I need mercy too. And when we stand before God on the day of judgment, we will need mercy. Will we receive mercy? Only the merciful, Jesus says, will receive mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they have received mercy, and they shall receive more mercy.